Hi, this is Brian Husky, and you're listening to UCB Sports and Leisure. Listen.
Since the dawn of time, man has competed and relaxed. But with that comes responsibility. We go behind the pageantry and ceremony to examine these modern warriors and relaxers to bring you the real story.
From East Hollywood, the investigative capital of the world, this is UCB Sports and Leisure.
Secret organizations pulling the strings have long been rumored to be running our government, our banks, even Hollywood. But a new documentary called Behind the Whistle claims that rogue teams of referees might be the real power behind the NFL. These debauched, traveling squads of officials strut like giants among men and intimidate both owners and players alike. We sat down with director Jordy Washburn and heard some shocking tales about the way these seemingly docile middle-aged men behave. Jordy Washburn, thank you for coming to UCB Sports and Leisure.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
What made you want to do this show? What made you want to look behind
the whistle?
Well, you know, the thing about these guys, they're practically invisible on the field. They always talk about 22 men on the field. There's not 22 men on the field. There's 22 plus 7. And these guys, you know, even when we do see them on the field, the stuff that they're just daily life, you know, before the games, after the games, at halftime, you know, like, how do they all go to the bathroom in halftime, you know, and all get out in time?
How do they all go to the bathroom at halftime? Well, I've never seen a documentary. They don't ever explain that with football players.
No, they don't.
Okay.
We're going to explain it, except with referees.
What kind of guy becomes a referee? You know, that's some interest. That's the reason I might check out this.
You know,
show,
it's all types. It's all types. Yeah. Some of them are, you know, some of them are like company CEOs. They sort of do it as a. They're like mountain climbers. You know, they just do it because it's there.
Uh-huh.
They really want to challenge themselves to be the best.
So there are wealthy CEOs who during the NFL season will travel around from game to game as referees.
I don't know about wealthy, you know. I mean, CEOs.
Small-time CEOs?
Like mid-sized, you know, or like, you know.
That's still wealthy. I mean,
yeah,
he's running a company
it's
of
wealthy,
some kind.
It's wealthy enough, especially when you add in the referee salary, you know. It's the humanity of it. It's the humanity of these stories, you know. These guys, think about it. Every week, they're in a different town, all right? It's not like they're young guys and they're going to just go out clubbing and stuff. They don't really fit in. They have an image to uphold. Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you what happens is in every single NFL city, all right, there's like a safe house for the referee crews when they come in to crew the games.
Uh-huh.
Right?
So sort of a down low location where they can be protected and relax.
Exactly,
so
where there's like a cordon, and anyone who comes in, you know, they confiscate phones. There's no photography. You know?
Is that because people are angry with the refs? Like if they called something wrong, or
you know, there's any number of reasons. Just you know, blackmail or what? Yeah, it would look bad on the league. I think these guys, the job hangs by a thread. Integrity. You have to have integrity. You have to believe that a referee. You know, it's just made of integrity. So
seems like you don't believe that if you're cordoning them off.
If you came into a town like Pittsburgh for a high-stakes playoff game, there would be some intimidation. I could see people pulling a ref at the airport aside and saying, you better call our effing calls. Can we swear on UCB Sports and Leisure?
Yeah.
Good. Those fucking refs probably get intimidated.
I was doing some research, and there are some people that have complained that in your show
– yeah.
Behind the Whistle, your documentary on referees, that you get a little involved in the referee's life. You know, as a documentarian, don't you want to usually be kind of a fly on the wall? You don't want to affect the actual.
That's sort of a buzzword in the documentary.
You know, that's an old model. The old model where the documentarian is just there, mm-hmm. and you know, and then we're going to pretend he's not there, like sort of the old you know Star Trek principle where you don't interfere with the populace. It doesn't work. That doesn't fly. So you're standing there with a camera, you know. Well, you're in the shower with a guy while he's taking a shower because you got to get the shot. he knows you. You're going to get involved. You know, you're gonna you get intimate with these guys. You know these guys. You know,
so you in what is it, a 10 episode series?
We're doing 10. Yeah.
10 1 hour.
We're 10 doing right shows? Now for the Red
yeah,
Bull
channel.
Yeah, we're
doing
channel,
10 right now. Exactly. 10 on the Red Bull channel.
I'm just curious. So, sure. Did you, in fact, shower with every person who appeared in your documentary?
No, not all.
On occasion.
Just, you okay. You know, yeah. You wouldn't, it's not like, oh, you'd see it every week.
Okay. Just curious.
Yeah.
And did you ever, because I'm kind of what's going with Scott said, like reality show, did you try to get them drunk or to amp up the antics?
You don't
did
have you to
like,
try to get these guys. No. That's what is so great. Okay, about Behind the Whistle. You don't have to get these guys to do anything. They're crazy.
Refs
you understand?
These refs are crazy?
They're crazy. They're nuts.
Really?
Yeah.
As aggressive as football players.
You know, like, they just party so goddamn hard.
Really?
Yeah.
Because when I watch a football game, I'm usually seeing, like, a silver-haired...
Grandpa.
Like, Grandpa Lane,
yeah, don't
white
let that
guy.
Fool you. Don't let that fool you. You know, they work hard. They play hard. They really like to blow off steam. I mean, oh, man, some of these places, you wouldn't believe the tale that these guys get.
Oh, they
you know?
Get ladies?
For the house parties. Oh, are you kidding
me?
They
bust in some ladies for their safe house parties.
Oh, the ladies come.
They
find drive
them.
Themselves.
There's groupies?
They just, you know, they just tell them, yeah, yeah.
There's Matt, referee. That blows my mind.
Yeah,
Matt,
yeah.
I've seen this episode, the first episode, the one pilot that you give us a preview on. Did you get the link?
I didn't get the link. Well,
yeah. It's called Blowing the Whistle.
So let me... Wow.
Yeah. Now, so, I mean, I don't want to paint a picture of all of these guys because some of them, you know, it's different crews. You know, they work, it's a crew, it's these seven guys work in this game, these seven guys work in that game. There's one crew that all they want to do is just go kayaking, you know, and they love to go kayaking anywhere they go. They're always trying to get, like, we want to do Cleveland, you know, just because of the rivers, you know.
So do you have footage of them at baggage claim waiting for their kayaks?
Yeah. Yeah. Takes for fucking ever.
Because it's in the separate, it's in the oversized
it's
one,
gotta,
right?
Yeah, they got to, it's in the belly of the plane, and it's got to come in large and oversized.
And they don't fly private, right? They're on commercial flights.
They're on commercial flights.
Yeah,
they
okay.
fly first class.
Yeah.
And they're, but, you know, and the thing is that the NFL covers all their travel expenses.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they say, all right, well, this is our luggage. We got kayaks.
So of all the places they could go to kayak, cool. They're picking Cleveland.
Well, they like,
well, there's rivers
like
in all the good
yeah.
NFL towns.
The Cuyahoga has a bad rap. But it's a lovely river. It really
in
is.
In Ohio.
It's got some challenging rapids. It's just got a lot of history to it.
Go ahead, Scott.
Do you ever press these guys? Like, I'm just picturing, like, there is the fly on the wall kind of documentarian. And then
yeah.
there's the kind of documentarian that you are, which is someone that's kind of like
we are
pressing
merciless.
And pushing.
No, we pushing. Are merciless. We want to get to the bottom of it, all right? So if we're asking you about whether or not, you know, you do something, and you say, no, I don't do that, I'm not going to take that right there and go, oh, okay, I'm just going to buy that.
So if someone says, I don't kayak, I don't want to have sex with this girl, I don't do cocaine.
I'm going to say, now, wait a minute. Are you absolutely sure? Have you tried it? You know, can I see you not doing it? And then maybe can I see you, you know.
Try both ways, do one without cocaine and one with cocaine.
Oh, no. There's always cocaine. These guys are...
So there are none.
Because they have to be up. And they don't get drug tested. That's the other thing that people don't
understand. NFL referees are not drug tested.
No, because they're part-time employees. They're contract employees. So the NFL doesn't... Yeah, yeah.
They always look kind of like in shape, like the...
Like Hockley.
Yeah, Hockley has
like
a
you want to know something else?
Is that because of the cocaine?
That was the issue behind the strike.
What?
The referees.
They tried to limit
the amount of drug testing?
The NFL wanted to bring drug testing in because they thought it was getting a little out of control, and the referees knew that would just, you know, blow the lid off of it. So
let me ask you about some of these.
We'll have some guys talking about that later in the season.
Cool. I can't wait to see it.
Let me ask you about some of these episode titles. Obviously, Blowing the Whistle was your first episode. I know what that one's. Kayakahoga-ing. I'm assuming that's the Cleveland team kayaking on the Cuyahoga.
Yes.
That episode 3, mostly. Rental Snafu.
Rental snafu.
Is that
rental
because
snafu.
You guys? Is that because you guys couldn't? You screwed up the rental order.
Well,
company?
No. Rental snafu was basically we had a guy. We had a crew come in. Okay, and you know they're. I think they use Alamo. All right, And they've got the card thing where you just walk in and you walk right to the car. It's there, and they get in and they drive away.
Yeah.
You don't have to talk to anybody.
If you're in the Gold Club or something.
Yeah, the Gold
right?
Club, exactly. Yeah. Because sometimes the referee crews, they come in. It's late at night. It's 3 a.m. or something like that, and everyone's going home, so they got to be in. And they got into, I think it was Cincinnati, it might have been Phoenix. I'm not sure. And in any case, Phoenix, Cincinnati. I got to look at the tape again. I can't, it's been such a flurry. But I think it was Phoenix. Anyway, the cars were not there. They didn't have any cars. So here's these seven guys, they got to get to the hotel because they have a lot of preparation.
Or the safe house.
The safe house. They call it the hotel. That's okay. The code for it because,
it's got to sound legit.
It's got to sound legit. So, they got to get there because they got to do the, 5 minutes of business that they do and then, start the poetry slam or the
party.
Live birth or whatever
get
the hell
the
thing
in.
Is that they're doing for the party that night.
I'm gonna name
live
some,
birth?
I'm going to name some things.
Episode.
They have a live birth. Episode six, live birth. I see that. Can I just cut to that?
Sure.
A theme party where some woman gave birth or an animal gave birth? What?
It was a woman.
We're all animals.
Humans,
I understand
animals,
that.
So, yeah.
But so the theme for this particular group you were following, their theme was to witness a live birth.
It was some crazy shit, dude. I got to tell you.
That's
hardcore. Yeah, yeah.
Looking at the data on that, this is right before the Seattle.
And I don't think that's something that
Seattle
they do week in, week out. Okay.
Okay. You can't live that hard.
No. I think a couple times a year,
Well, that sounds so much more interesting than the rental snafu episode. Under the Hood.
We started.
What is this one? Is that a player review episode?
Under the Hood?
Yeah. Is that about player review, like what goes on under the hood?
When the review plays? Right. Under the Hood. And so there's a lot of politicking that goes on because you don't know is they're all wearing those headset mics, right? So there's 47 guys, okay? Because you got the seven-man crew, all right? You got the video crew staff because they got,
everybody in the truck.
You got back at headquarters.
In
you
New
got
York
the
City.
You got them logged in. And then
got 47 voices in your head when you get under that hood?
Yeah, I mean, at least. Sometimes
the wife
I tell you
is
what,
FaceTiming,
and,
sure.
and this is a thing. This is like the ref. It's kind of like they travel and they do things as a pack. If you're reffing a game on the East Coast and your game finishes before the West Coast game starts, you're sitting around back at the safe house or something, and there's a there's a red flag. There's a replay call.
They can get on the horn too.
Absolutely, they're all entitled to weigh in on.
So there's a bunch of people saying it's fucking inbounds. It's a catch.
New York's going.
Quiet down. I'm telling you, by the rule, it's not a catch. He didn't complete the process.
Yeah. People think that it takes a long time.
Wow.
It's amazing how efficient.
That's like an air traffic controller.
Well, they
want to
get it
moment.
Right, and they want to have the idea is that if they're going to get it wrong, we all got it wrong.
Is it majority or unanimous? In those moments.
Isn't that the same thing, Matt?
Majority is 51%. Unanimous is everyone.
It's hard to say. I don't think there's time for that. I think it comes down to generally who's loudest.
Whoever freaks out.
Yeah, okay. whoever, because,
So that guy,
47 guys. So.
Under the hood doesn't make his own call?
No. That guy,
it's all
that's
tense?
The only guy that doesn't have any, he doesn't have any say in it. He's just there to basically look and listen, and then once the decision comes down to him, because if he's allowed to weigh in,
All right, I'm going to jump ahead to episode 8.
I have a question.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm going to name a few things.
Yes.
And you just tell me if these things are or are not in the referee's safe house.
Okay.
Okay? Birthing room?
Well, very city to city, but there's definitely
a
birthing room in one of the safe houses.
Okay, 3D television?
3D television, probably.
Viking stoves?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kegerator?
No, keg fridge.
Keg fridge?
Keg fridge.
Oh, yeah.
Stripper
yeah.
pole?
Couple of them. Usually those get brought in.
Mm-hmm.
Bocce court? In the backyard?
I think there's a bocce court in San Francisco.
How about pets or plants? I'm just curious. Like, do they have to feed something when they leave? Or?
You know, there's a couple of places that have it in the South where they have a dog or they have a couple of dogs.
There's nothing sadder than being a safe house dog.
Plants, people leave behind. You know, a lot of them tried plants for a while, but they just die. You know,
nobody. I would think a dog might.
A dog can make its needs known. So, you know,
but I mean, if you're gone,
I got to feed this dog. Is barking at me. I got to let's give him. And they can eat people food. You know, you can't like throw part of the hamburger you got into the plant pot, and it doesn't.
How about a library?
They just don't care about it.
How about a library of NFL rule books in every safe house?
No, they don't need that. That's,
they know it.
Well, yeah, they know it.
What about cocaine disco room? Or party room, however you want to explain it.
I don't want to spoil episode 9.
Okay.
The thing,
what's episode 9 called, Matt?
Cocaine party room. How about this episode? Episode 10, chain gang rivalry. Is there?
Yeah.
Squad. So the chain gang squad is, they can sleep in the safe house or they're not?
There's a couple of crews, all right? There's one crew that's just a bunch of ex-cons, and they sort of gravitated to each other a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think that's great, though, by the way, the NFL rehabilitating prisoners. I think that's great.
Yeah. I don't know if they're rehabilitated, to be honest.
I don't know if I like
because,
it. It seems like irresponsible to have
I mean, when,
doing
when you call these guys a crew, these guys are a crew.
Oh, they roll deep.
Yeah.
Packing heat?
I wouldn't mess with these guys.
How many NFL referees do you think carry a gun on the field? Never?
They're not supposed to. Technically, it's against NFL rules.
Okay.
A lot of them have concealed carry permits, though. You know, so I would say 40% of them do because there's a lot of threats
against
them.
Sure, in Dallas
refs,
or Houston, you
know?
You can carry one.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow. Louisiana, too, I think.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, they're well within their rights, technically. It would not be against the law for them to have a gun on the field.
These guys are bad.
It would be against an NFL rule.
The wrong impression of an NFL referee. They have cocaine rooms and stripper poles and groupies and
people
carry guns.
Know. Yeah.
Wow. So I know that you've gotten a little too involved in some of these episodes. I mean, I'll judge that it was a little too involved. You can say what you want to say, but where's the line for you? Like, when people have personal problems or have relationship issues and you come in and you're filming that, when do you stop your own person from wanting to be involved and the fame that you seek?
When I feel like when we've got the episode in the can, that's the line. I don't want to get involved with these guys past what it takes to get the episode of the best show that we can deliver. So here's a case in point, okay? I'm not going to name the, you know, official in question. He was feeling depressed. He had a little suicidal period. And me and my crew, we're sort of the only ones there. You know, the rest of the guys were like passed out or whatever. And we really were worrying about him. And I had to sort of step in and intervene and like try to kind of talk him down. And, but yeah, you don't want to get too, you know, into it. So at the moment, you know, I tried to talk him down for maybe an hour and 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. At that point, that's way over, you know, we do a half hour show every week. You know, I have to draw the line and I have to say, excuse me.
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap. We got to go, you know, because these guys.
What about a 911? That's a half a second.
Did you call 911 before you left?
That's a good point. That's a good idea.
Oh my God, you never even thought of that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
have you ever slept with any of the refs' wives?
That's a tough question, Scott.
Yes or no?
In or out of the safe house?
Well, definitely not in the safe house.
You'd be.
I would say in the safe house, absolutely not.
Okay. Okay.
And outside of the safe house, absolutely not too.
Okay. So you're saying you've never.
But definitely
that line.
In the safe house, absolutely not.
He doesn't seem as
definitely
he
not
doesn't
in the
seem
safe
as
house.
Adamant about outside.
Yeah.
What also I said? I said definitely not to both of them.
Okay. You said also outside. Okay. I guess I was curious about the pecking order, because obviously the chain gang guys don't get to stay in the safe house, right? Or they do? like the guys who move the chains?
No, they might get an invite. They come through, but they don't sleep there.
Is there a pecking order like the chief referee? Yeah. Does he make them carry his kayak, or do the linesmen get less?
It's like
they
Lord
get
the
girls
flies.
First.
It's yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It's in a, and it's you know there's a very strict sort of ranking.
Almost like military.
Yeah, almost like military, like a biker gang kind of. It's you know who's you know who's who.
And by who gets taped up to the
and
stripper
by
pole?
Force stripper of, pole. By force of personality too. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's some shenanigans that go on. There's and honestly, it's the hazing is a very important part of how these
question.
Guys bond.
So if you got a rookie referee, so you got six guys who've been running the NFL for 4 years.
Yeah,
one guy retires. They bring in a new kid.
Yeah,
what sort of hazing rituals do they do for that guy to prove his salt? Or to-
his first year is going to be very difficult. Okay, he's going to go through a lot, okay? And if he can survive the first year, if he can kind of hack it and, you know, show them that he's tough enough and man enough and that he wants it bad enough,
mm-hmm.
he's going to be pretty good, you know, by the time you get to your second year, there's
well,
a
lot is it like college hijinks where he passes out and they draw marker penises on his face?
Like give him like a swirly or make him eat like an onion?
Like that.
Or,
no.
Yeah.
Or well, first
me,
of all,
go get me lunch, grunt.
The first thing that happens is in I'd say 50% of the crews, the new guys got to get jumped in, which
new guys got to get jumped in, man.
Yeah.
You know
like
what
the Hell's Angels, right?
Yeah.
You five guys just beat your ass.
Yeah, beat
six
the shit
guys.
Out of them. Yeah, well, no.
So six old referees. Kick
there's
your
five
ass?
Guys, and then there's one guy who sort of stands there with a whistle and is ready to throw the flag if it gets too.
Someone refs the fight.
It only makes sense.
So is it a, I suppose they usually show up for Game City Friday night or Friday afternoon, party right away that night?
Right to it. Yeah, they get right to it.
For the naturists, they maybe kayak Saturday.
Yeah. They get up
hike.
Early. They're
they
like,
early.
Yeah, Friday they're like all, they go to bed, you know, they get to the safe house and basically just sack out. And then they're up at like 3.
Get on the river.
To get on the river.
And then Saturday night before the game, is it still another hard party?
Probably a big dinner. You would think like a big dinner, right?
Yeah.
You know, they there's a little pregame ritual, you know, just to get everybody kind of ready for the game. They do Klutz Klevitz. They do...
What?
I'm sorry, what's Klutz Klevitz?
Klutz Klevitz.
Klutz Klevitz?
Yeah, it's like, this is a klutz, a klutz, a klutz. This is a klutz. It's an old theater game.
Klutz Klevitz?
Zip, zap, zop?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Yeah, and they do zip, zap, zap.
Okay,
do
so they sort play, of warm up.
Do they sing like Big Booty or whatever, like that Big Booty, Big Booty,
that's
big
another
booty.
One.
Uh-huh.
That one.
Okay. I never saw that.
Okay.
Okay.
It's like Klutz Klevitz. It's okay. A repetitive word game that everybody has to say it right or you're out, right?
Yeah. And
so
then
they do that before the game? Like
they
a big
do that before the Saturday. Game. They eat something. Mm-hmm. They have a crew prayer.
Do any referees get nervous before like a big game? Let's say you're doing like a playoff game or something, like a really intense game. Do you get like what do you do as a referee to settle your nerves? You've seen these guys in their safe houses. How do they calm down?
Well, I mean, pharmacologically or like from a sort of psychological standpoint.
Some of them obviously take medication.
Oh, yeah.
Stabilize their mood and their
nerves. Well, some of them, I mean, are just legitimately on medication just because people, you know, this is America in 2016, people are on medication.
I don't know if that's true. That's a like generalization.
And sometimes it's just like whatever's left over from the party last night. You know, that's not everybody. There's some straight edge guys that, you know, there's like some yoga. I
who
think
are the straight edge
a,
refs? I feel like those guys would be probably the best refs, the straight edge refs.
That's what you would want. Like a Boy Scouts or Eagle Scout type person.
Hockley's pretty straight edge.
Is he?
Yeah, okay. He is.
Hardcore?
He is, yeah.
Do they pack their own, like, so Sunday morning, they probably have to get there a few hours early, walk the field, the pitch, or whatever they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Do they pack
they
their own?
They call it the football field,
the
I think.
Field. They call it the field. I don't
I thought
think
it was
they
called
call
the gridiron, too.
Matt's been, he's trying to show off. He's been in Europe.
Nobody calls it that.
Okay. Do they, for example, do they pack their own yellow flags or they come?
Oh, yes. Those are personal. They carry those with. Because when you, I mean, think about it.
Those are laundered at the safe house?
Those are hand washed.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You know, if you are, you know, you got a crucial play, you're reaching for a yellow flag, you not only want it to be there, but you want it to be there, and you want it to be the same yellow flag that you've pulled out time and time again because you know that you can count on it, you can trust it, you know. I mean, yeah.
No, what do they pack in there? Gravel, beans? What is the weight?
It's different. Everybody is
no
different.
Rule. Buckshot. Different.
It's whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Old
whatever
wedding rings.
You want totems.
Right.
You know,
dreidels.
You know, crystal.
Meth. Like when you say crystal.
Crystal.
Wow.
You know.
Well, let me ask you this.
Sure.
This sounds like a hard knocks, if you will, for referees. I'm not equating it to that. But are there moments, I guess, because one of the things I remember from Hard Knocks, there's always several guys who get cut or let go. Are there infractions? Because it sounds like they get away with anything, but are there moments where you were had your cameras rolling where somebody got fired or let go, and what were the reasons?
Well, I'll tell you what. Blown calls are taken very, very seriously, okay? There's a review after every single game, and a lot of people are in on it. If it's an egregiously bad call, it can go to tribunal, mm-hmm. right? And believe me, you do not want to go to tribunal.
So each squad is their own tribunal? Like it doesn't have to go up to
no.
the NFL?
It's not the NFL. It's a total shadow. It's a shadow sort of government over the thing. The NFL, it's tribunal. Nobody knows about tribunal.
Sounds like a scary, like it's, Stanley Kubrick movie.
They take care of their own. It's the ref, you know, the officials taking care of their own, really.
Okay.
So,
got it.
Because it's one thing for the NFL to go, oh, you made a bad call. We're going to fine you $5,000 or we're going to dock you for a game or something like that. But it makes all the referees look bad, and they do not like
integrity.
To look bad.
Okay, so there's a real code.
So that guy is going to get, you know, the soap in the sock and, you know.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
And then
he'll get beanbagged.
Oh, really?
They'll beanbag him.
Well, they'll get him in his sleep and whack him with beanbags.
Yeah, or just line him up against a wall, and they get, you know, the thing that they shoot the T-shirts with, and they mm-hmm. put the beanbags in there and just Oof. And just let
T-shirt
rip.
Cannon?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that's like getting off easy. Some of these guys, you know. Some guys that after a bad call, we couldn't find them. We wanted to do a follow-up, and they were just
buried in the desert?
I don't, you know, I mean, I don't. I think that would be Phoenix. Was it Phoenix? Yes.
Someone's
so was it
the
yes.
Was it cameras
yes.
out when the tribunal Maybe. Was happening? Were they pushing the camera guys out of the room?
We only heard murmurings, and we saw the robes, but we did not. You know, no. We're not allowed into the sanctum. So
okay.
Yeah. So that was, and then you know, but we waited around for the guy to come out, and I mean, if you think about it. They have absolute power on the field. Really, more than say the president has, because he's got to, you know, coordinate with Congress and
mm-hmm. there's no checks and balances
and the
people and they vote him out. But these referees, you know, what they say goes, and you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
I'm actually encouraged by that because I've always feared. My dad was a big gambler, and he would always say this game's fixed. They pay the refs to make bad calls, but it sounds like these guys care about. Blown calls, and they care about the ethics of their
yeah.
profession. Like
yeah.
there's no nonsense where you see like someone throwing a game or,
you know, there might be, but that person, you know, he's better off going up against the Colombians, to be honest.
If he got found out,
yeah.
If
yeah.
he took money from say a Vegas guy,
yeah.
Give me some bad calls. I got yeah. a lot of money on this game. He would probably end up missing.
Him. His family, his grandmother.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So if you're related to a ref, you got to make sure that your referee in the family doesn't cross.
It's not anybody. For everybody. Yeah, exactly. Which keeps them pretty honest. You know.
Yeah.
And honestly, the game needs that.
There's probably an easier way to do that, but I agree.
I wouldn't know what it would be.
I mean. Kind of roguish men traveling the country in safe houses and partying and, you know, performing their own forms of justice as needed. That seems a little scary.
Yeah, yeah. But it's American, you know, it's tradition. You know, it's been like that.
Did you have any relatives ever dip their toe in the NFL, like a family member?
I had a
Washburn referee.
Yeah. I had a great uncle, Lonnie Washburn.
Mm-hmm.
He was a referee. back in the early 60s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was on a couple of
Is that his name on your cap? Looks like, yeah, he's wearing a captain's cap with the Lonnie Washburn on it.
Yeah. That's pre-merger, right? That's pre the AFL merger.
I think so, yeah. I think
so. Oh, okay. And did he regale you with stories, or are they kind of like guys who go to war and don't talk about it?
He didn't talk about it, you know? He didn't talk about it. I would sometimes, you know, I'd be outside his study, and I'd hear him sort of sobbing, and maybe on the phone with somebody, you know, another referee trying to work through something, you know, an offsides penalty that, you know, shouldn't have been called, or just a bad spot.
Mm-hmm.
And
offsides is the one that's hard to screw up.
It's really
like it's hard to. I shouldn't have called that offsides as a hard.
Well,
one.
Also a bad spot. I mean, it's such an imperfect science.
Yeah. Not to these guys.
No.
It's a perfect. It is. There is no science more perfect.
Wow.
Than, you know. It's the triangulation. You wouldn't know if you didn't do it.
Do you feel that way about podcasting?
Yeah, we're perfectionists. Well, there are games where I've noticed, like I've seen a ref with a scar on his face or a black eye.
Yeah,
or just like a limp or a bad hip or something.
Yeah,
you know, like
they
you got
never
thrown.
Talk about it. Nobody.
Well, you notice. You know, people think like the players don't. They don't fuck with the refs,
right.
And you know, everybody thinks they don't want to get ejected. They don't give a shit about getting ejected. They get paid for the game. You know, they get ejected in the second quarter. Or they get to take the second half off, and they get paid for the game anyway. So, you know, what do they care? They don't want to mess with that ref because first of all, if they mess with that ref, they're not only messing with his crew. They got to go, you know, they're going to be on the field with another crew next week, you know.
And all the crews have each other's backs.
These guys take care of their own. They do not leave anybody behind.
If I want to become a referee, okay, let's say I want to become a referee, is there like a walk-on thing where I can walk out? Or is there like a ref's combine where I can show my skill set?
No, you got to know somebody. It's a very, very tight-knit organization.
Man, it sounds like the mafia. Yeah.
I'm surprised they even let a woman, because there are some women.
They come to you.
Though.
If you're, yep. if you're a particularly good, you know, Division II college ref or even in, like, say, an outstanding high school ref or something, and you make it onto their radar, they're going to start.
Are you allowed to say no and refuse the job?
Well,
or will they just take you and put you in the safe house?
It gets tough right away, so. You know.
This is fascinating.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show.
You brought football to life, honestly.
All right, Jordy Washburn, it's at this point in the show where we give you a chance to choose between the UCB sports bump or the UCB leisure bump.
You're getting the bump.
You're getting the bump. Which one would you like?
I'm going to have to go with sports. I'm a sports fan.
Okay, sports bump.
Hi, this is Jordy Washburn. I'm creator of the new hit series Behind the Whistle on Red Bull Network, and
you've been bumped. The UCB Sports Bump.
I'm Johnny Pastimes, and you're listening to UCB Sports and Leisure.
Every spring, the NFL draft is watched by millions of fans who hope the future of their respective teams improves. It is also watched by collegiate athletes waiting to be drafted. This year, UCB Sports and Leisure traveled to Lansing, Michigan to watch the draft through the eyes of a hopeful candidate, Jajon Winfrey.
We are here in the home of Jajon Jeffrey in Lansing, Michigan, watching the NFL draft in the middle of the second round. How are you feeling about your chances, Jajon?
I'm feeling pretty optimistic. You know, I don't really expect myself to you know get picked up in this round here. It's just nice to be surrounded by by a familiar location.
Obviously, in the draft, many people have cousins and uncles and aunts and a big party. This is your house, or
this is my mother's house.
Your mother's house, and she's here somewhere.
Right now. I think she's like sorting out the attic.
Okay,
but she said if anything big happens, call her down, and then like I'll hit rewind on the DVR.
Okay.
But people, really disappointing turnout, I'd say. put out a Facebook invite.
Oh, you did invite people. I thought you wanted to be alone. You invited a few friends?
Oh, well, I invited a few friends. Okay. But, you know, I understand things come up, you know.
And sometimes there's jealousy. Maybe people on the team feel like they should be drafted.
That's the thing. Like, people on the team, you know, I'll say everybody's good, you know. Some people are better, mm-hmm. and some people are the best. I would put myself in the better category. I'm not going to say I'm the best.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's predict. Right now, it's the middle of the second round. The Lions, you're one of your teams. You like the Lions.
You know, team I'm really hoping.
They're on the clock. We'll see who they pick. But do you think you'll go in the second round?
If I'm being honest, I'm going to estimate myself as like being like a fifth rounder.
Fifth rounder. Okay.
Know, fifth rounder. If lightning strikes, maybe fourth.
Okay. But and do you have an agent? Have you gotten an agent already?
No agent. Doing this solo. You know, kind of just Google's my agent. You know, kind of
sure.
Yeah, just you know, send some emails out. Mm-hmm. I really don't know what else an agent would do for me.
Sure. Well, actually, they can get in the owner's ear. They would actually help.
Okay.
But you went to the combine. I'm looking at some of your stats. You ran a 4.82 40.
Yes, right.
Okay, which is middle of the road, above average.
Pretty like slightly at average.
Okay, for wide receiver?
For wide receiver, yes.
Okay, and you went to Western Michigan. I'm just going to read off. You had 8 touchdowns?
I had 8 touchdowns received.
Okay, and you started for 1.5 years?
Yeah.
You had 52 catches in your career?
52 catches that are recorded in my career. You know, there's a couple other, you know, catches that don't go on record, you know.
How's that? Like a penalty, reversing the call?
Like reversing the call. Sometimes, you know, someone will throw the ball like after the play's dead. You throw it and you catch it still.
That's not a reception.
It should be, though, I guess I'm saying.
It's a dead ball once the whistle's blown.
Right. But like, let's say that there's like a dead body somewhere, you know.
It's okay.
You say there's like a dead body. That's still a body, you know what I mean? So like you wouldn't just you couldn't like rob that body, like take its wallet. It'd be stealing still, you know what I mean?
I guess, but then you would count catches and warm-ups too, wouldn't you?
And I do.
Okay, but in official stats, you have how many catches? 52 catches.
52 catches.
Started for a year and a half.
Year and a half.
And
it's a very unfortunate leg injury, but fortunate for me.
Oh, the guy before you?
Yes.
Okay. And you had 4 2-point conversions.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, 4 2-point conversions, which, you know, they some people started calling me the 2-point conversion king.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really hoping that will pick up and, like, really take off.
Well, it looks like the Lions picked A'shaun Robinson, big kid out of Alabama.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. No. Yeah, that's fine. That's good.
We're hoping. You would love to go to Detroit.
I mean,
obviously.
It would be nice just proximity-wise.
Yeah.
You know?
You could stay at your mom's.
Stay at my mom's. You know, I'm figuring that team would, like, you know, trying to fill the gap that Calvin Johnson left.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big wide receiver. Some say the greatest.
Are you a speed? I don't know your career as well. Are you a speed receiver, a possession receiver, a scat receiver? Like, what kind of yourself to somebody playing?
I'd say, like, a jack-of-all-trades receiver, you know? I've once done a one-handed catch.
Odell Beckham?
Yeah. It predated Odell Beckham, mm-hmm. So it was kind of, you know.
So you had a one-handed catch once.
One-handed catch.
Okay.
In the 2016 NFL draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Miles Jack, linebacker, UCLA.
So it is now the fourth round, middle of the fourth round, and the Vikings are on the clock. And Ja'Jon has not been drafted. He went upstairs. Ja'Jon?
Hold on.
He's upstairs in the stairway.
Yeah, Ma.
He's not even watching the draft.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah.
He's talking to his mother.
I think we're good. Did you want anything to eat?
To eat?
Yeah.
Like what? I guess. I don't know.
Hold on. Like what?
So we could do like a grilled cheese?
Yeah. I would love a grilled cheese with tomato. Not to be a pain in the ass.
No,
tomato?
Yeah. I bet we can do it.
It's grilled cheese with tomato.
Tell her thank you.
And thank you.
She said that's a no on the tomato, but the grilled cheese is a go.
She's still yelling. I think she's asking if you've been...
No, not drafted yet, but, you know, just checking on it. Optimistic.
Does your mother, she wants to know if you got drafted, right?
Yeah, my mom asked if I got drafted.
Does your mom not watch to, obviously she's interested, or is it, she thinks she's going to jinx it? Like, why isn't she down here?
I mean, she's interested, but she's, like, mostly, like, it's a game, you know? And I'm like, well, I could make a lot of money at this game. And she's, but you know, my mom's like a, she says she's a realist, but I'm like, well, you know, I can get in there, though, you know what I'm saying?
So she's not impressed with, obviously, the celebrity of sports.
Yeah, I, you know, my father was an athlete.
Oh,
himself.
Really? What are you?
Yeah.
What sport?
Division III bowling.
Really?
Uh huh.
Well, that's interesting. And did you ever? Was he good? I guess.
It was a team bowling, so it was a cumulative score that they would divide. So he was average, but a couple of team members on his team were above average, so that made the whole team slightly above average.
Oh, so you come from an athletic family?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Lightning Winfrey.
Lightning was his nickname or real name?
His actual name
was Lightning.
Was Lightning.
Oh, wow.
His nickname was Peter.
Oh, okay. Is he still with us? Did he pass on?
He's passed on.
He passed on.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Recently or a while ago?
I found out recently, but apparently it happened like 3 years ago.
I don't know if I want to dig any deeper on
that. I don't know if I want you to.
Okay, let's move on from that. You know, you mentioned earlier a buddy of yours, Farrell Cooper, was a kid out of South Carolina, got drafted by the Rams. Now, how does that feel? Like a guy, he's a wide receiver, you buddies with him?
Yeah, you know, good. Good. I'm happy to see Coop do well, you know. Do I think he's the best? I'm trying not to say no. But, you know, he's able.
Do you think he's round four material?
I would say he's not round four material. I'd say he's round six. You know what I mean? But, I mean, there are other factors, I guess, that go into it. You know, I, even myself, I didn't think I was going to go fourth. I thought maybe I'd go fourth round, but I'm certain round five. Like, that's what seems like the most realistic thing.
Like, have you called him to congratulate him? I mean, that's a life-changing.
Yeah, you know, in fact, you're right. You're right.
Because he's off the podium. I mean, he got drafted.
He got drafted, so he's probably
a while ago. Oh,
hey,
this
Coop,
is great.
What's up, man?
We're gonna hear
man.
To John talk to an actual draftee.
I just want to say, congratulations, man. Just, just big, big things for you. You know, and I'm gonna see you out there on that field. You know, on your team or on, you know, on the opposing team, but we'll see. When you get this voicemail, go ahead and call me back. Yeah, great. Same number. If you have this is Jajon Winfrey. Okay. All right. Peace, man.
Oh, it was voicemail.
It was voicemail.
He's probably got in front of the press right now.
Yeah, you know, and probably it's on silent. His phone's on silent. So.
And that was that felt sincere. You're happy for him.
I'm very happy for him.
With the 143rd pick in the 2016 draft, the Oakland Raiders select DeAndre Washington, running back, Texas Tech.
Okay, it is early in round five, and the Lions are on the clock. How you feeling? You think round five?
I mean, this is where I'll say I know it's going to happen.
It'd be a dream come true if the Lions went for you.
It'd be a dream come true. Like, you know, kind of like destiny, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you dream a dream, it becomes reality. I think it's kind of...
I'm excited to be in the room with you. This could be life-changing.
Yeah, me too.
We'll see what happens.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he's got a call. You got a call?
Mr. Elway.
Oh my God.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
John Elway's on the... Oh, my God. You can have the call by the mic if you want.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Hello, Mr. Elway. I'm so happy to be hearing from you.
Oh, my God. This is what they do before they draft them. They tell them we're going to pick you, and they just want to make sure they're on board.
Great. Terrific. You're going to be making some people very, very happy.
Oh, my God. This is amazing.
And it'll be an honor. You know, we'll see what else comes up. No, I'm joking, of course.
Wow. To John Elway.
Yeah.
The Broncos are going to pick him.
Yeah. Well, sir, I expect to hear from you soon. I hope to hear from you soon. But thank you for calling. Great.
Wow.
Great.
Oh, my God. The Broncos are going to – John Elway just called you. The general manager of the Broncos just called you, and they're going to pick you in the next round.
No, that was Mr. Stephen Elway. He is a proprietor of a local Outback Steakhouse, which I've been accepted into the co-managerial training program.
Oh.
Yeah, which, you know, that was in the works for a while.
Oh.
Yeah, I can see how that would. Oh, that's wow. Right, because John Elway is. Yeah, okay, yeah, no.
Oh, that was a roller coaster for me.
Now I'm thinking of it. That's hugely disappointing to me. Kinda. Oh,
I'm so sorry. I thought you were talking to John Elway from the Broncos.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
No. But, you know, I'll tell you.
Congratulations.
One of my passions. Thank you. Because one of my passions is the Blooming Onion.
Oh?
So, you know.
I'd say of all the chain steakhouses, I'm down with you with Outback.
Yeah. I'd say it is the John Elway of chain steakhouses.
Oh. That's a very good point.
Yeah. And I've used it before, but I'm glad it came up just now.
That you've talked about. Oh. The Lions just took Joe Dahl, offensive guard. I guess they had to shore up the line. They're not looking at receivers.
Okay.
How's that feel?
I'm not gonna lie, it's disappointing. It's gonna, it's kind of like,
Just talk me through your, yeah. Talk me through what
I mean,
feeling.
Are we sure that's what it said?
Yeah, Joe Dahl. He's going on the platform. They're putting a hat on.
Oh,
yeah,
there's a hat too.
It's definitely not you.
Yeah, it's not me. I guess part of me is like a little worried that I'm not present at the draft itself, but like, I don't think everybody is, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
But there's actually no cameras here either.
Yeah.
Like there's no news outlets here besides UCB Sports and Leisure.
Yeah. Which thank you for coming.
Thank you. This is a great story. I've never sat in the room with a potential candidate for the NFL.
Yeah. You know, I've never been a potential candidate for NFL. Oh, hold on a second. Sorry.
Oh, your mom's. Is that your mom?
Hey, mom.
His mom is yelling.
In the draft.
She's yelling.
Mom, you're being unreasonable. Well, I mean, can't you DVR?
Something about DVR. I'm not sure.
I mean, it's just only two more rounds.
What's going on, Jajon?
My mom says that she needs to use the TV.
In the middle of the draft?
In the middle of the draft. That's what I'm saying. And like she says she doesn't care what round it is, she needs to know what happens on her stories.
What's she's a soap opera lady? Or
she's a soap opera, and she also likes to watch E! News.
Oh, E! News?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, really? Well, I shouldn't judge. My mom likes garbage stuff, too.
Yeah, see, exactly. So,
did you tell her that we're covering this whole story?
I said, like, it's covered. She's like, what news outlets are here? And
UCB Sports and Leisure.
Yeah, you know, I hinted at that.
You know what? I'm going to go talk to her.
If you could.
Because I think it wouldn't be a good story if we don't ride this out to the end. Because then we won't have a verdict. We won't know if your life changed or not.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm going to go upstairs. Okay. What's her first name?
Jalinda.
Jalinda. Okay.
Minnesota Vikings select Moritz Boringer.
We are late in the sixth round here in Lansing, Michigan. Again with Jajon Winfrey, the wide receiver from Western Michigan University. Hoping to get drafted in the NFL. Right now, the Lions are on the clock, and we just settled your mom, Jalinda, does not need the TV.
Yeah, she doesn't need the TV.
What happened? How do we broker that?
You know, it took a little bit of argument. Not, her screaming at me a little bit, but, you know, I've always been taught to be respectful, so I didn't scream back.
I tried to help, too, but she had never heard of UCB Sports and Leisure.
Yeah,
and she's
that
like,
she wasn't having it.
If there's just microphones, that's not a TV show, is what she told
that's
me.
That's her exact quote.
Yeah.
And that's fair, you know. I guess that's fair. But, you know, we were able to open up the computer, mm-hmm. and there are actually like a lot of old archival e-news on the website. They keep archives of the episodes. So she's up in her bedroom watching those. Let's going back and like kind of getting her entertainment news fix.
Okay. Oh, the Lions pick is in.
All right. My phone didn't ring.
Sometimes they don't call.
Okay.
But you met some of these owners, right? When you went to the combine.
Yeah.
You met,
you know,
some of these owners.
Yeah,
you
I shook some hands.
Met, yeah.
You know, really just kind of like expressed my interest.
Goodell's coming out. Roger Goodell's coming Great. Out. Okay.
Okay.
Here we go. Wow. Jimmy Landis, long snapper from Baylor, was just drafted by the Lions. Jimmy Landis, long snapper.
He's a long snapper.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous. Well, a long snapper.
A long snapper, yeah. That's
I mean, what's even like the point? Like, anybody can long snap. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's you snapping, he's doing a little bit more. Well, I mean,
he's a specialist. I agree. It doesn't seem like a very athletic position.
I'm talking, you can put a Craigslist ad up and find a long snapper. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. In the draft?
Seems like a wasted pick in
it
your
seems
mind?
Like a, it seems like a wasted pick is what I'm saying, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially you got some people waiting who will work for the league minimum,
mm-hmm.
You know, at any position. I mean, kind of like look at somebody's overall talents. Ask them if they could pick up long snapping. You know what I mean? Like, then you got a person who can, let's say wide receive,
mm-hmm.
And long snap. That way you get two for one. And, you know, I don't know, clean some towels, something. Mm-hmm. Earn his keep.
Mm-hmm.
But still be a useful part of the team. You know what I mean?
You think that's a bullshit position, long snapper?
I think it's bullshit. I don't think it's real. You know what I mean? I think it's just something that somebody does.
Did you talk to the long snapper on your team?
Only in the sort of, like, conciliatory way. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, man, one day you're going to learn a real position. You know?
Well, it must hurt. It must hurt a little bit.
It hurts.
Okay. Well, have faith.
Long snapper. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I've never seen a long snapper go that high. I'll be honest.
I've never seen a long snapper go.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? That's the thing. I'll tell you what though.
Well, the 49ers are on the clock. Let's stay optimistic. Right.
Well, let's hope not. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
I mean, 49ers not like the best team.
They were bad last year.
They had a pretty rough season last year.
Kaepernick kind of shit the bed.
You know, Kaepernick shit the bed. They're missing Harbaugh, which was like the main thing.
Yeah.
Main thing with them was Harbaugh. Now he's over here in Michigan, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's not at State. He's not at Western. But, you know, he's in the State.
So you would not want to be drafted?
Oof. I mean, I'd cross my fingers and hope not, you know, hope mm-hmm. for something better. But
mm-hmm. Oh, they got their pick in. You're
okay,
lucky.
Okay, so they didn't pick
no.
me.
No. Okay. Kelvin Taylor, running back out of Florida.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's good. Probably more acclimated to the weather anyway.
All right, Jajon, it is the final pick of the seventh round in the 2016 draft. Are you feeling good? Optimistic?
optimistic. Trying to be optimistic. But, you know, but overall, yes, optimistic. Because, you know, this is part of the drama of it is to, like, have it be so late.
Mm-hmm. The Titans are on the clock just now. They've had a lot of picks this draft. Yeah. A lot of picks.
Yep. And so, you know, just kind of hoping to have that name be my name, and I know it's gonna be. So, you know, I just gotta kind of like even prep my I don't know if it's a speech, but like, you know, oh, thank you, you know.
They always say, I'm going to work hard.
Yeah, actually. Like,
you won't regret this.
Work hard.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for
the
opportunity.
Dreamed about this my whole life.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to give you 110%.
Your mom's. Hi, Jalinda.
Hello. What's all this?
The Titans are on the clock. Yes, this is the final pick.
Mom, it's the final pick right now. It will be on. You can DVR it. You can see it later.
Yeah, you can go on demand. You can get Housewives on demand. My wife watches us. This is like a bad. This we're doing a story about Jajon getting picked.
Ma, this is my life.
It could change his life. I mean, he could.
And my life isn't important.
I'm not saying that.
Should I leave? Or you? Got,
No. Why don't we put? Can we put you on picture in picture? Because you know, so you do like.
All right.
So I'll be on the small bubble then.
So what's happening? Don't screw this up, because if you hit the wrong button, you're going to lose the live feed.
I know.
All right, so you're going to put picture in picture?
So, yeah, it's technology that allows you to watch two different feeds at once.
Okay.
But the
sound will be from?
The sound is going to be Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which is one of my mom's personal favorites.
But we'll get the big picture?
Well, no, I think by nature it has to be the small picture.
We're going to have the small picture.
So, yeah, we just scoot our chairs up to the TV a little
bit. Okay. All right. Thank you for the grilled cheese. That was delicious.
Yes, Mom.
Yeah. Okay, we're on Housewives now. Where's the? Oh, up there.
There it is. It's hard not to get distracted by the bigger beings. They're just so, and like this flashy clothes.
not a fan of the Housewives, I'll just say.
I'm not entirely.
Yeah.
But, you know, it'd be nice to have my wife be one of them. Yeah.
Okay. Any minute now. So how do you feel? You feel like this is...
You know, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good.
Okay.
You know? Woo!
I'm glad to be here with you. This is a...
I'm glad you're here me. It's nice to have somebody.
Yeah.
You know?
And again, I'm disappointed not more people are here. And this is really a life-changing event, Miss Winfrey. Just...
yeah, you know, so if you could, like, watch both, Ma, that would be nice. Okay, she's really tuned in.
Okay. Okay, the pick is in. I'm going to hold your hand on this one.
Okay.
I'm going to, just for a little mojo for you. I would love it if you got in, because this would be so exciting. A kid out of Michigan going to the Titans.
Going to the Titans, you know.
Playing professional football.
Oh, yeah, dream come true.
Oh. Okay, Roger Goodell is walking out of the runway. Okay, come on, Ja'Jon. Say it, Ja'Jon Winfrey.
Say it, Ja'Jon Winfrey. Ja'Jon Winfrey.
Western Michigan University. Come on. Okay, the pick is in. I'm so sorry, Reed Kellen. Kellen Reed out of Southern. They took a cornerback.
Crap! Crap! Crap, crap, crap! 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 I swear I never swear in front of my mother.
It's okay.
Oh.
Did you get it?
No, we're just still recording. This is a... I am... How do you feel? Talk about your emotions. You've sat through all the rounds.
It's like watching a movie where the main character dies in the end, but he's not a hero. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you imagine in the end of Batman, if Batman gets shot by like a regular gun,
mm-hmm.
and then he's just dead. You know? And it's not like...
He doesn't get to be a
Batman
hero.
Trick. He doesn't get to be a hero.
Like, he doesn't save Gotham.
Like, exactly. He's not. It's not even shot by the Joker. It's like one of Joker's thugs.
And then Joker executes the caper anyways,
exactly.
Right?
And then he, like, scot-free, goes home, mm-hmm. kind of, like, puts his priceless artifact or art on the walls of his house mm-hmm. and kind of just, you know, gets up the next morning and does it again.
Mm. I'm really
well,
sorry.
You know, I'll say the game's not over, though. You know, it could be... clerical error.
Clerical error. I don't explain.
You know, it seems like maybe there's some sort of computer glitch that allowed them to make a mistake. You know, like maybe there's some sort of like, I'll say the name Ja'Jon doesn't always go into a, you know, it's auto-corrected pretty often.
Oh, so, but I don't think a Ja'Jon Winfrey was ever drafted.
Well, I mean, do we know that for sure?
I mean, I can go through
like,
all
maybe
the
they tried. And then, like, maybe there's a Ja'Jon Winfrey sitting there right now who's like, oh, I'm in, you know, but he's
so,
like a,
they may have tried to draft you, found out that it wasn't him, and just moved on to another
player? And
then
just moved on because out of their disappointment, you know what I mean? And
I guess in that scenario, you still don't get drafted. They're not going to get rid of the guy they picked.
That's not the only error, you know. That's not the only possibility of an error. Could be some sort of, like, you know, like some infighting. Somebody somebody's really pushing for you, but then there's somebody like a jealous somebody on the inside who saw the skills, saw that I made 8 touchdowns, you know what I mean, saw that I had 2 catches, you know, and was like, too good, you know, I said too good, we don't want that to be a hot shot, and they don't know me and my personal work ethic is that I won't be a hot shot.
Oh, they think you might be too flashy of an athlete for the locker room?
Maybe that's what I'm like I'm just trying to get in their heads. Like maybe that's what they think. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, anybody knows me knows I put the work in and then I'll do other people's work that isn't like part of the work that needs to be done. You know what I mean?
Did your buddy Cooper call you back?
The kid
got drafted by the Rams?
He did not. He sent me a text that said, "Who this?" So
is that a joke?
I'm assuming that's a joke. I'm sending him one of these, a GIF image of a, it's a guy saying what, and it's like a bunch of and it repeats itself.
Oh yeah,
that's good, Coop. That's classic Coop.
So, for our listeners, what's next for Ja'Jon Winfrey? This has been a tragic journey, but also exciting, and obviously you have a fallback.
I'm gonna see this outback thing through. Yeah, I mean. Maybe walk on to one of these teams. You know what I mean? Just kind of just show up at the practice and kind of hope that you just get kind of swept into the mix. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll go to the training facility, mm-hmm. maybe in a disguise, kind of go in there dressed as like a maintenance person, and mm-hmm. then catch like run on field, catch a ball, and they'd be like, who's that?
This guy?
And rip off that hat and that fake mustache and put that broom away. Mm-hmm. Be like, it's me, John Winfrey. Nice to see you again.
I'm sorry, I was watching the Beverly Hills.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's pretty rough. The
way they treat each other,
they
just
are
so catty.
Just venomous yeah. to one another.
So rude. I'm sorry, you were talking about your life. I apologize.
No, that's fine.
All right. Well, we're gonna probably pack up. But any advice to any future candidates for the NFL draft?
Yeah, just get an agent.
That's good advice.
Just get an agent. It matters. Turns out it matters.
Thanks for listening to this episode of UCB Sports and Leisure. You can reach us on Twitter at UCBSL. And a special thanks this episode to Ron Livingston and Sam Richardson. And as always, thank you to Alexis B. Preston, our studio engineer. Peace.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.